Blog Talk Radio.
As you get old and you get settled, You're getting comfortable and you don't want to rock the boat. But if society is going to change for the better, so the boats need to get rocked. Amen. Somebody, some changes have to occur at home. The change makers are the old, that are young. When we fight wars, we don't call the 50s and 60 years old and send them into battle. We give the 18-year-olds, the 20-year-olds to go fight that battle. Because young people will lead the way. And this Joker that's in office, he's going to get put out of office based on how the young people will come out and vote. And I know why you start saying amen, because I'm talking about fighting from the bottom. And you're saying, I don't want my children to go through what I went through when I was growing up. And I understand poverty is no joke. And I want to make sure that I give my children everything that they need, but you have to ask yourself, how did you make it to where you are today? It's because of what you have been through. So stop trying to protect your children from the battles, because sometimes they have to battle from the bottom in order to appreciate what they get at the top. The preacher said, your young folk will lead the way. There will be 232 initially, and they will be followed by 7,000. And then Ahab asked the priest, how will this be done? And the priest told him, you will start, but God will finish. You see, I need you to understand that while your family's from the bottom dealing with a messed up situation, how are you going to make it? Who's going to make it happen? You're going to make it happen. How is it going to get started? You're going to start. And God's going to finish. But God will not finish if you don't stop. That's why many of us haven't started anything in our lives. It's not that God won't finish. It's because you won't start. I'm talking about some witnesses that can testify to this happening. That if you start, we serve a God who will finish. Look at the children of Israel. A million people trying to get to the promised land. But how will they cross the Jordan? The cross is when the priest put their foot in the water and the water began to recede. And then the priest started walking in the water. Then God began to move the water back. But God didn't move the water until the priest started walking. God said, you can always trust me to move, but can I trust you to start walking? But if you started, how many of you know that God will finish? Yes, he will. Even though they were outnumbered, they still got the victory. God gives you the victory so that you and him can have intimacy. King Ahab, and I think God is behind the young men joined the army and began to defeat Ben-Hadad and his army up in the east. And even though they were outnumbered, they fought them in the mountain and hill. They fought them in high places. Then they looked serious. Was them so bad that Ben-Hadad and his men ran away. Then Israel, they began to celebrate and have a good time, because that's a good feeling. When you start whooping on somebody who's been whooping you down through the years, so they began to celebrate. But here comes the reason with the message of inspiration and instruction. He told them, I know you're happy now that you've got the victory, but don't celebrate too much. Your enemy, Ben-Hadad, is going to regroup and come back to get with you next spring. You see, when you get the victory, you have to be careful not to get distracted and lose focus. I know you got the victory. You got the job. You got your marriage working out. I understand that, but understand this. The enemy still isn't through. He's going to regroup and come back again. So the preacher said, strengthen your position. Regroup and invest in yourself. For look at Matthew chapter 4. We see Jesus being tempted by the devil in three places. He told Jesus to turn the stone into bread, jump from the pinnacle of the temple, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you the kingdom of the world. But Jesus said, it is written. It is written, and it is written again, and he got the victory. But the Bible says that the devil left him for a season. He didn't leave him for good. He only left him for a certain period of time. But when we see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying, Father, I wish that this cup would pass from me. I would that there was any other way to save your people that I would make happen. And this was nothing but the enemy regrouping and trying to keep Jesus from getting to that cross. And even when Jesus was dying on the cross, these next to him said, save you, save others, save yourself. And that was only the enemy showing back up, trying to keep Jesus from fulfilling his purpose. Just because the enemy isn't messing with you now, you still gotta regroup. Here, Ben-Hadad, and his official gathering to discuss why they got defeated. And they came to the conclusion that the reason they were defeated was because Israel fought them in the mountains. They said that the Israel God was the God of the mountains. But next time, we're going to get the victory, because we're going to fight them in the valley. And their God can't handle the valley. And here comes this preacher again. Don't know his name, but his message is out of sight. He says, God is going to give you the victory, because your enemy is trying to limit all of us. Then the God is trying to indicate that God can only give victories in high places. So God is going to give you the victory to show that he can help you win the battle even from the bottom. The enemy thought that God was only a God of the mountains because they used to hear the word saying, look unto the hill from which cometh our help. All of our help comes from the Lord. Then they thought that God only operated in the mountains, they were here, the children of Israel saying, remember Moses at Mount Sinai. Remember the children of Israel at Mount Hor. Remember Elijah at Mount Carmel when he called on God and fire fell. So they kept hearing these sermons about the mountain, and they thought that the only place God would operate was the mountain. And that's what's going on with a lot of us today. All of our years, we've been hearing people talk about the God in the mountains and how he resides in high places. Yes, he does reside in high places. Ask Michael Jordan, ask LeBron, ask Barack Obama. But one thing I know is that God can also operate in the valley. He's the God of the valley. He's the God of low places. He's the God of the valley. And even when you start in the position of disadvantage, God can still give you the victory. Ezekiel said, God gave me a vision of a valley full of dry bones. And then God began to put life together. He began to restore life, and he did it in the valley. And we don't call Jesus the lily of the mountain. No, no, we call him the lily of the valley. He's the God of the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's the God of the valley. If I ascend into heaven, God is there. But if I make my home in hell, God is there as well. Because he can get with you in high places as well as low places. I know why you're trying to put a limit on me. But let me show you something. Isaiah said, every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be brought down. Every rough place shall be smooth, and every crooked place will be made straight. You see, what we do, what we have a multidimensional God. Meaning whatever you need, God is there. If you're in a high place, you're a God of high faith. But if you're in a low place, he knows how to get down to where you are. You see, we keep listening to these charismatic preachers talking about for every devil there's a new devil. But let me tell them something. God is still there. I don't care what level you're at, God is there. He's the God of the mountain, he's the God of the valley, and he's the God of the plain. He's the God of suburban, and he's the God of urban. He said, I'm going to give you a victory on the bottom so that you know that I am the Lord. I'm not giving you a victory just for you to have prosperity, but I'm giving you a victory so that we can have intimacy. Some of us think that God is giving us a victory so that we can have productivity. He says, no, I'm giving you the victory so that you can have intimacy with me, that you might know me. I'm getting ready to close now. But when you get intimate with God, God can't help but to produce something in you. You do know that productivity and prosperity follow intimacy. What God is doing right now is operating from the bottom. And he's doing so that you'll know that he's the Lord. Because there's a difference between believing and knowing. Some of us believe that he's the Lord. But when you only believe, that leaves room for doubt. But when you believe that, but when you know that he's the Lord, that transcends belief and leaves no room for doubt. Some of us believe that he can save. But I got two or three witnesses who know him as a savior. Some of you believe him as a word. But some of us know him as a way maker. Someone who puts food on the table. He's a heart fixer. He's a mind regulator. He's a miracle worker. He gives you the victory in the bottom so that you'll know him in a better way. Do you know it? Isn't he all right? Has he made a way for you? Somebody shout, yeah! Don't get discouraged at being at the bottom. God knows you're there. And you're still bound for the victory if you let God lead, inspire, and direct you. He's a way maker. He's a late night company keeper. If you're worried, he'll settle your mind and calm the nerves, and he'll make a way for you. Do you know him? Isn't he already a good God? And despite the position you're in today, he will make a way. Somebody say amen.
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 Well, yeah, because it's 15 minutes left.
Oh, 15 minutes left?
Yeah, it's set to about 60 minutes.